You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, Donald, now pretty excited today because later on, put the phone, what are you doing?
I'm getting prepared for the segment, Johnny.
Well, listen to what I'm saying.
I'm like a woman, I can do two things.
Don't say you're like a woman, Donald. I can do three things, sexism or something. You're like a person with long hair and breast all areas.
Finish what you're going
to
say.
That says what?
Good.
Which is a man on hormones with long
hair.
You
can do more than one thing at a time.
Yeah, of course I can. I can do three things at once. I'm a woman. Woman.
Yep.
Hear me roar.
Good time.
Who had that song?
She just passed away.
She did.
Helen Reddy?
Yeah.
Did she? I went and saw Helen.
You didn't realise she passed away.
I did not. I went and saw Helen Reddy at the Rainbow Room in New York.
When?
In 1992.
She was still performing, really?
She was. She filled in for someone. I went with my friend Kevin and his lovely wife Lorraine.
Yeah.
We went there to the Rainbow Room where Frank Sinatra made his name and Helen Reddy, and we met her after, and she asked us about Australia and how we were all going and everything. So,
daughter of Max, Reddy, and what, sister to Tony, a sister Tony
Lamond, was it?
Yeah, Tony.
Now we're excited as us.
That was a good song too, by the way.
Was it?
Oh, what do you mean, was it?
Well, I'm just... I didn't...
You've never heard it?
I've heard... I Am Woman.
Yes.
I've heard it, yeah. I would,
and yeah, it didn't appeal to you?
Wouldn't be on my playlist, no.
Why?
Because it's just not appealing to my
musical... You've got a funny sense of appeal when it comes to music.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what would your favourite genre be?
Rock? 70s?
Yeah, give us just...
Oh, anything. The Who...
The Who. Give us a song.
Yeah, Genesis.
Give us a song.
What do you mean?
Well, give us the tune or a name
of
one.
Well, no, I will not sing because I can't sing, but I do know the
Genesis or Who does.
Beg your pardon? In the Living Years, Genesis. Oh, no, that's Mike and the Mechanics. In the Living Years, you know that one? Who? Geez, they had a classic, didn't they? Tommy. Did you see Tommy, the film?
No.
Rock opera. First rock opera.
Right. Okay, so we're still excited,
and
Donald.
Margaret in the spaghetti, in the baked beans. Don't you remember that scene?
No, because I didn't see the film.
Did you go to see Woodstock?
No.
What were you doing?
Well, I was doing other things, Donald. I didn't see Woodstock. Still excited, as I said when we
opened
up.
You're excited.
No, we are excited because...
Why? Who's we?
Well, you and I, Don. And
I'm not.
Rocket Rods.
You don't. Now, listen.
Hang on.
Is this Ralph Horowitz or Rod?
Don't.
Just, what do you mean, don't?
Just a minute.
I want Ralph to get the phone.
Go on. Another thing that people say is...
Listen. If they talk about the microphone...
No, I'm not talking about... Another thing people say is, when I say to you, by the way, I am excited... Who's excited? You never let me finish a sentence so that you know what I'm talking about. You always preempt the fact that you won't know what I'm talking about and say, who? When are they coming on? What time? Who are they? And do you know what? So let me finish this. We are still excited, Donald. Yes, I'll go on. Because we have a...
Well, you haven't finished, I realise.
We have a national star of radio.
The new king.
Oh, who was that? Don.
What was that? A little Sir Echo.
Sir Little Sir Echo, how do you do?
Okay.
Little Sir Echo.
For the fifth and final time, we are excited because a national star of radio and television...
Hang on, you use the plural. You are excited.
No, well, if you'll let me finish, you might be excited with us, Donald. We. But I haven't been able to finish yet. Oh, fuck. No, seriously.
Don't swear.
Oh, don't swear. Don't what?
You are excited. Just get it in its right context. You're pedantic about the...
We are
English.
Going to speak to a man down the line from Sydney who is a national star, and he has taken over from Alan Jones on 2GB. His ratings are sensational. He is genuinely a star. He loves this show so much. His wife doesn't. his wife chastises him.
I think he's batting above his average when it comes to his wife.
One day. One day, Donald. His wife doesn't like us, and I've implored him to try and get her on side because we are after the female audience.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, we are. So, and he is fascinated by you, Donald.
What?
He's quite enamored with me, but he's quite happy with what I do, but he is fascinated by you because he thinks you are the most dysfunctional, dyslexic, obscure.
He didn't say any of these words.
No, I'm saying this. He's coming on to give us a critique of both of us because he genuinely likes what we do, or he gets entertained by you, Donald, because he can't work you out. He's heard of who you are, but he's not sure who you are now.
Well, who is he?
He is.
That's a good point.
Well, he is Ben Fordham.
Ted Fordham's he's brother?
What?
Ted Fordham's brother.
You've got a one-track... If I mention a surname ever, you always sheet it back to AFL or VFL football.
Well, I'm
if I said President Kennedy...
I'm not very worldly, John.
If I said President John Kennedy was assassinated in 1963, you say, is that John Kennedy Kanga's brother? you always sheet everything back to football. People can have surnames the same as AFL or VFL footballers, Donald. They don't necessarily mean they played football. Now, a Scott of the Antarctic, I give you an example. You're Don Scott. Oh, is that? Did he play? Did he go down the Antarctic? Now, listen.
Oh, he wrote
Ben
a book.
Fordham
he
is
wrote
a
poetry. He was an English poet.
Ben Fordham is a Walkley Award winner. Now, do you know
really? For what?
Do you know what the Walkley Award is
for? I do. It's a very prestigious
what
award.
For?
Well, it's for journalism.
That's
and broadcasting.
Right.
But I've watched him on the Today Show, yes. And I don't consider he's that good that he deserves
oh, well, tell
a
him
Walkley.
That, yeah,
I will.
Tell him that when he comes on. That'll be good.
Did he win a Walkley?
No.
He won a Walkley for the Thredbo landslide.
What, was he responsible for it?
He was a reporter.
Oh, was he responsible for it?
He was a journalist. And he also did a lot of stuff, investigative stuff for Current Affairs.
Did you
hear
that? He said, was he responsible for it? Yeah,
you were quick then. You were real quick.
Yeah, he farted and caused the fucking
gone?
Landslide, Donald.
Where's Doug?
So don't worry about Doug. Now, so he is a
Cheerio
Walkley Award
Doug.
Winner.
I hope you're feeling better.
And he's on Ninja Warrior. What? He's on what? Ninja Warrior. And he's on the Today Show. And he's on Today Show?
No.
Current
no,
affairs.
I think
not
he's
anymore
because
he does
I
breakfast.
Think he's finished.
Because he does breakfast.
That's right. He took over from Alan Jones, who went to Sky. Anyhow, he's coming on later. He's going to rip you apart. He's going to psychoanalyze you, Donald. And I'm going to be listening with fascination to this. So, that's that. That's why we're excited. Didn't take long to get on to tell us why we're excited.
Did I interrupt? By the way, did I interrupt? Did I let you finish what your preamble?
No, of course you didn't.
Are you serious, Don?
Yeah.
You've interrupted the whole way through.
The whole way through. It started off, you said... Now I've got Ted. I've got Ben Fordham. You said, "Is that Ted Fordham's brother?" that's how you start. So, Don.
Helen, ready?
Helen, ready? That's right. Gee, I am woman. Did you interrupt? So now let's just. I'm going to say this as calmly as I can, Donald. And we don't necessarily like to speak ill of people. Unless you know them and they've done something wrong by you personally. I don't know this man personally, but what is going on in this state has reached critical, it has reached a critical pitch in what's going on. Now, if you are listening to this, anyone, and you, Donald, I'll tell you what these two words mean because I didn't know what one of them meant, but this is about Daniel Andrews.
Oh,
now,
I had my
now Don.
I was going to ask, I had my hand up asking a question.
Well, I'll just say what I'm going to say.
Is,
then
this
you,
is about Daniel Andrews.
Yes. This,
okay.
Then I'll just say what I'm going to say. Then you come in. Mm-hmm. Daniel Andrews, it's got to the stage now where most of his party, the people who support him in politics, are really ramping up a campaign to have him out, I believe, besides the general community, because he will be thinking he is strong and acting in the best interests of the Victorian public, but in what in reality is he's as weak as piss. He is a belligerent, pompous, arrogant man, and he is a Bolshevist. A Bolshevist is a Russian proletariat.
I know the Bolshevist.
Well, I didn't know what a Bolshevist means. This is what a Bolshevist is.
Well, the Bolshevists existed in Russia.
That's right. I just said that. Existed in the Russian proletariat. And this is what a Bolshevist is. A radical majority of the Socialist Democratic Party advocating immediate and forcible seizure of power. That is, if that is not Daniel Andrews to a T, I don't know what is. And then he is deceitful, which means misleading and fraudulent. Now, they are strong things to say about a person you don't know or who is leading a state, but he is almost bordering on the verge of being treacherous. He is a disgrace. And how he can stay as the head of a state that we live in the most livable country in the world is beyond me. He should be run out of office for the disgraceful handling of the Chinese coronavirus, which has just plunged this state. And it's not that he's not... It's not that he's not trying to think the 1% of what he's doing is going to prove him right in the end. It's the fact that he will not relent to opening businesses because he is not interested in free enterprise and the capitalist system. He is a socialist, so he doesn't give a stuff. His and his party's salaries are paid by you and me, the taxpayer, because they're public servants. And he has no interest in responsibly and cautiously opening any section of the community up that might benefit the livelihood or the lives of people in the CBD or this state. Now, what do you say?
Can I talk?
Well, when Thank I say, you. What I do you get... say, that is an invitation for you
well,
to speak.
Oh, finally, go. I just woke up. Actually, I agree we've got to have lockdown. Now, just let me finish.
Just quickly, the World Health Authority said, the World Health Organization said lockdowns are useless. Just came out and said it. Go ahead.
They didn't recognise the virus in the first
instance. Go ahead.
There should be testing. What is not happening is a lack of practicality as far as this government is concerned. Now, we've got to work with the virus, work with it. Now, I believe in lockdown. Now, I will go and say, and I mentioned it weeks ago, about how on the railways they are testing. They come in, the workers come in at morning tea time, the masks are tested, they're put into groups of four. The end of the shift, at the end of the 6 hours, they're told whether they can come back to work tomorrow. Tested negative or positive. There's also got a test which comes from America, which they can test now in 15 minutes. It's rather expensive, but it is available. But it is expensive. Now, why can't businesses start and or investment go into these means of working with the virus? The other area is, and I am now going to say that in Victoria, I live at the morning on the peninsula. We have got no
case. Give us the address.
Will you shut up? Cadinia, Maroondah, Nillumbuck, which are on the outskirts of Melbourne, and the Mornington Peninsula, have no cases whatsoever. Why don't they get the army and lock off the areas that have got high COVID virus? And there are specific areas around Dandenong, out in the western suburbs. So they start and isolate, which would mean the rest of the community could start and work. Providing you've got testing at the workplace and you socially isolate these areas. I'm sick now, sick to death, of being included with the rest of the state when we socially isolate and are responsible, yet there are certain areas of our society who don't adhere.
Your mob started it.
What mob? I know, and you didn't follow up. I told you that. You never believed me. I came out with a hot flash on the Monday.
But you'd been locked away back when the Aspen 5 started it?
What?
How would you have liked it if you'd been locked away when the Aspen 5 started it?
So I would have been locked away, and that was
how would you have felt?
I was as good as gold. He was wiping the microphones and everything at that stage.
But you wouldn't have been allowed to come here.
That's fine.
So as a layman and adult, Donald, which you are, and I am, don't worry, I included myself. Do you know what adult is?
No, you're very good at this, but you're hopeless at, like, Bolsheviks. Didn't you do modern history at school?
I was letting you the people listening know what a Bolshevist is.
You've got a retentive memory, but as far as intellect is concerned and IQ,
well, you are
limited. You are limited.
So if you, as a layman and adult, can say those measures should be taken in about testing the railway workers and all that...
No, I'm
agreeing with you. Why Thank wouldn't you. The government...
That's right. That's what I'm saying, Johnny.
Yes, and so when I said you went to sleep, you said, I've just woken up after I gave my little diatribe about the Premier, who is honestly... How we will look back on this and say, how can we be governed by a man who just ignores every single aspect of what's going on?
No argument.
You said businesses, why don't businesses open up and test their employees? Because they're not allowed to open up, Donald. If he said, the Premier said,
the man
business can open up and can test, and you can, when you come in, have your temperature taken, and... They're not allowed to.
Hey, but who do you think? Who do you think's at fault? The bottom line: we, as a community, are at fault because we allow these people to. Hang on, let me finish. We vote.
It's like someone hits you with a cattle prod. You go, wait a minute. Go on.
I can see you. We are responsible as voters because we elect these so-called smart people to power. This Westminster system's
so we may as well have just a dictator.
Why do we got to divide ourselves into two parties, Labor and Liberal, in Australia?
Oh, well, that's a different discussion.
Yeah, but discussion. It's not we. That's a different. We just put ourselves in those boxes. We don't think...
Okay, that's a completely
different discussion. We should vote on merit, and we don't, and they don't disclose...
So you just said that it's our fault, right?
Yes, as voters. We put them in.
Oh, well, that's... But
we should be more aware of what's going on.
People voted Daniel Andrews' government in, the coronavirus hadn't been thought of. It's just since that it's reared its ugly head...
It's not corona, John. It's a lot of things. You tell me federally what has been done... I think the last real big infrastructure thing might be the Snowy Mountain or something, or the Snowy Scheme. Or
yeah, it's just Donald.
There's a lot of things that should be done, but these blokes are short-sighted.
The angst, but that's whether you vote for a socialist or Labor government or a free enterprise Liberal government. That's the choice, and the choice was, whether you like it or not, that Daniel Andrews' government was elected to run the state. I'm saying he has completely disgraced himself and his party since the coronavirus came in, for one reason, that he gave a $30 million contract to a security agency firm that was not ratified, that didn't do business with them, that was jobs for the boys, that was uneducated and untrained to control or look after or advise about a pandemic. And for that, he stands condemned. And there's 820 people died in this state, and the highest in any other state, I think 70.
He's never run a business in his life. This is why I'm saying we should be aware of what's going on. We should look at their background. He's never run a business in his life. So how can he make these decisions? And how does he's not business orientated.
So the World Health Organization, how are they in business?
I was going to say, I hope you weren't pushing them up.
No, I wasn't pushing them up because they said... One stage, it's not a threat, the virus. Don't blame the Chinese. Don't wear masks. Then do wear masks. Self-isolate. Then don't self-isolate. They said lockdowns are useless. They are nothing more than paid political hacks on the other side of the world who know nothing about what's in the best interests of the country because they speak about information they don't even have or they're ignorant of. Now, so, a Chinese virologist who I saw interviewed on the overseas news said that this is her words. She said the virus it's impossible for the virus to mutate. That is, it cannot spread on its own without being introduced to other viruses and diseases. And she said, she's now in America, she's scarpered out of China because they've arrested a family and detained anyone that knows her. She said that they have deliberately mutated the virus to cause the pandemic which is sweeping the world for nefarious and political reasons. Now, that is an extraordinary statement that there's no one is in America is because it's a it's become politicized. No one in America is following that up. And for her to say that, and I've seen her, she's a credible, she was first asked by the Chinese Communist Party to actually look into the virus and see if she could work out a way that it wouldn't spread. And she said there's no doubt that they have mutated it, that is, made it the pandemic it is, to cause the world destruction and the world disaster that it has for political and nefarious reasons. Now, that is an extraordinary thing to say. And as a result of her saying it, they've arrested a family over there. And
in where?
In China. A mother's now disappeared. So,
talking about political.
Yes.
What about Trump?
Yes, now, what about
that was that engineered, his coronavirus? Because it just so coincidentally happened straight after the Joe Biden debate on television. I thought Trump didn't handle himself very well at all in that. Do you think that he concocted the coronavirus so to take the heat off the embarrassing situation that existed in that debate?
So that's your conspiracy theory. There's 20 people in the White House and thereabouts who've contracted the virus. Trump didn't give it to anyone. He was given it to it. He was given the virus by his close association with his right-hand woman called Hope Hicks. She gave it to him, and there's about 20 other people who've... So you reckon they've all contracted
I'm not. Floating the idea.
Well, how
do you know he didn't give it to anyone?
She gave it to him.
Everyone gets it from someone. What's to say that he didn't then spread it?
The issue has been... The issue of the Biden debate just move sideways while we all concentrated on Trump's coronavirus. If he didn't have the virus, he would have really been criticised in the way he acted in that debate.
He'd be criticised for the way he acted with the Biden debate.
Yes.
Joe Biden was speaking absolute nonsense.
And gave no tangible things about what
that country needs to get back on its feet. Just spoke in generalities, and Trump pulled him up at every opportunity.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Trump was very, very rude.
Rude?
Yes.
Well, he won't understand that.
John. Why would you let someone babble on?
He's doing
a Trump here.
Okay.
At least Biden hopes that Mr. President and Mrs. President...
What?
All the best as far as their health is concerned. Bigger man.
Oh, you'd be joking, wouldn't you? What else?
I didn't.
That is a political statement. Do you think Joe could give a stuff if Donald Trump becomes well or not? He couldn't care less. That is a political statement to look as though he's window dressing to say, oh, how compassionate is Joe, as opposed to all his other party who said that they wished Melania and Donald would die from the coronavirus and be a great thing if they did. Don't tumble into all that shit, Donald. You're so gullible.
Don't you tumble in, Don. Don't you tumble in.
And the final...
Talking about golf, Trump and golf.
No, is this sport?
Yeah. No, it was... General.
Go ahead.
General.
Go on.
Is it true, Daniel Andrews, is he a golfer?
Yes, he's
at
a member
Kingston
of the Kingston
Heath.
Yes.
I heard.
Yes, I know what you heard.
Well, you tell me what I heard. Thank you.
Well, you heard that there's a...
He knows me.
Well, I know what you're going to say.
Go on.
That there's a petition going round from the members of the Kingston Heath Golf Club to submit to the committee to have him ousted as a member of the Kingston Heath Golf Club.
That's right. That's what I heard.
Well, I'm telling you, Donald, and I know nothing more than you do, but there may well be, as Gough Whitlam said, there may well be a petition going round signed by some of the members or a lot of the members And it'll be presented to the committee of the Kingston Heath Golf Club, and it'll be rejected summarily out of hand. You cannot dismiss someone because you don't agree with their politics or you think they're incompetent. It's only if they've done something to break the rules of the golf club or have they've acted in an indiscriminate way that will get... neither it should. Daniel Andrews should not be... withdrawn, his membership withdrawn from any membership of any golf club because of what people think of him. That is against the law and it's unconstitutional, but I know there is a petition being...
Unconstitutional.
It would be unconstitutional to debar someone from a golf course just because you didn't like them.
Sounds like that might have happened to you, Sam. Is that where you're coming from here?
No, it didn't happen to me, but there was a rumour on the radio, because I was rung by the press, there was a rumour that I had had my membership withdrawn from the Royal Melbourne Golf Club. And I said, yes, had I been a member, I would have been pretty ticked off if I'd had it withdrawn, but as I'm not a member, I think I can tell you that that's fake news.
Have you ever applied?
Yes, he
has. Oh, yeah, no, I've applied to several courses.
And well, they're judging you. In the same manner, the committee are judging you as a prospective member of that golf club.
Yes, but plenty of people get rejected from being members of golf clubs because you only have to have, and mainly they are in the entertainment or the media industry, and you only have to have one,
one
person disagree with your application. The committee assess it, and if they have too many people saying they don't want you because they don't like you or they have a different persuasion to what you're on about, there's plenty of people, but it's only the people in the it's only the A, not the A-listers. How's Fiona Byrne going, do you reckon?
Who Keep called going. Me?
What are you talking about?
How did
we get onto Fiona Byrne?
Well, she said that I wasn't an A-lister, and then she said I was, and then
what's that got to do with?
Well, I was just talking about it's only the people who are in the headlines that you hear about being rejected or not nominated or ratified to be members of things, but there's plenty of people get knocked back for various reasons from golf clubs. That is a well-founded rumour, and I'm sure there is a petition being sent to the Kingston Heath Golf Club, or if not, it's on its way.
Circulated amongst the members.
But it will not... get up, and neither it should. Here's me. Why would I be defending Dan? I'm defending the principle that just because you don't like someone, probably plenty of people at the Kingston Heath Golf Club voted for him in the first place. So,
but isn't an honorary position? Every Premier of Victoria is a member. There's an honorary position.
That's correct.
Okay.
So I don't
know. Where? At Kingston Heath?
Yes.
I'm told that, and I don't think you can, just because you made an honorary member, you can't withdraw that unless you've done something illegal or unlawful. He has done none of those things. Well, has he done any of those things? He's not told the truth. He is deceitful.
No. He just hasn't answered a question. He's very smart. He's very, very smart at not answering.
That's deceitful. Anyhow, so...
Talking about premiers...
All right.
I feel sorry for the lady in New South Wales. It broke yesterday at ICAT.
What's her name?
Gladys Berejiklian.
Oh, nice work.
Oh, you smart ass. She's rattled his bucket.
Our Glad, yeah, Glad.
Well, I just said...
Who else is a famous Australian know called Gladys?
Moncrief.
And is that the sister of the full forward that played for Hawthorn? Gee, you're a dick. I thought you were going to say, Gladys Moncrief is... I think she's the mother of
she'd be the grandmother.
What's Michael. His name? Michael Moncrief, who played for Hawthorn. Gladys Moncrief.
Gladys.
So Gladys, here, go on about Glad. Our Glad up in New South Wales.
Well, I felt very sorry for the lady.
And rightly so, and so do I. Whose business is it? But here's the small problem, Donald. Say she was going out with someone who was a murderer or a white collar criminal or a someone who'd been up on a horrendous charge. What credibility does it have that you're leading a state as the premier and you're going out with someone who is actually not a person of great quality or reputation. So there's the fine line. But she should be entitled to climb into the rack with whoever she likes.
Oh, no, hang on, hang on. Don't be rude.
What?
Don't be rude. You said climb into the rack. That's just... Well, that's
a throwaway line about going out with someone.
Well, it's not appropriate.
It's not as though she knows him on a nodding acquaintance. They've been going out for 5 years, and I presume they've been...
Excuse me. Just keep going, but don't. Anyway, treat the lady with some respect, please. I just feel for her because emotion... emotion, it doesn't matter who you are, we're all
love is love, Donald.
And we're all controlled by emotion.
Love is love. Well, she got into, probably might have got into the, might have got into bed with
you.
Now
you're a smart ass, I can see a smirk coming on your face. Now there's a smile.
Might have got into bed with him and might have said to him, what is this thing called love? And he said, no, I think you got it around the wrong way. It is, what is this thing called love? It's not is what is this thing called love. Probably misunderstood the phrasing or the phraseology, but they are an item. They are an item. Donald? They are an item. Incidentally, someone told me they went out to dinner. Someone told me they know a couple that went out to dinner. And then they went on to a nightclub, and when they got to the nightclub, there was this rapper on the floor.
Who's this, Gladys and
no, boyfriend? This was a friend of mine told me this about this rapper was on the floor, and then the husband took his wife out to dinner, and then they went on to a nightclub as a bit of an... And this rapper got on the floor and was doing handsprings and cartwheels and, just doing jive dancing and singing and... was fantastic, and the woman said to the bloke who'd taken to the nightclub, she said, see that bloke up there dancing and cavorting around? She said, he asked me to marry him 25 years ago and I knocked him back. And her husband said, yeah, and he's still celebrating. So now, Donald, Glanis is entitled to go out with who she wants, and I don't care if you think they've climbed into the rack or not. That's their business. But I think it's
do you think she was aware of what he was doing, seeing that he was expelled in 2018?
I think she probably would know who she's going out with. So here's the fine line, Donald. If you were attracted to someone, were attracted to a woman, let's say a woman for this, or a person. No, let's not just say.
No, just put down woman.
No, person.
No, why person?
Because you might be attracted.
You've always been a mystery.
No, but it's not you being a mystery. We're just not gender identity. We're gender neutral now these days. So please.
No.
We're gender neutral. You mightn't be gender neutral. You're gender neutered. So it's just say you're attracted to, all right, to a woman. I'll throw that out there, Donald. I'll go off the deep end. Say you're attracted to a woman, and you really are fascinated by and captivated by her, and you found out that she was an actual felon. She had was a drug importer and she was a drug dealer, and and you really liked her, but you were enamored with her. Would you think about carrying on your relationship with her because she was a convicted felon, a drug taker or a murderess or whatever? Would you think that you should dissociate yourself from her even though you loved her? Got that music there?
It's called think music.
You got that button there?
No, I think I'd cut her loose.
You'd cut her loose? Mm-hmm. So you would let your... personal opinion about what people think of you override love.
Yeah, when you talk about drugs, yes.
So if you were really thought she was a great bird and she loved you.
Go on.
What, get it off what? Get it off, what'd you say then? Get it off my chest. What are you talking about? I'm asking you, if you really loved her and thought she was a fantastic person but she'd been convicted as a criminal.
Okay.
He's answered the question.
That's right. Wind it up. Now listen.
Wind it up.
Now listen, you're into art.
Now
you're into art. 10 what?
That's right.
Are you in? You're into art. Excuse me. Yeah, hey, go on. Hey, here up. I am over this side. Look at me when I talk.
Well, he said 10.
No, don't look away. Do so. What about the artist who had a grant withdrawn just recently?
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, good one.
No, I don't know. Go ahead.
Can I read to you?
If you can read, you can.
Well, I'm going to try. A Melbourne artist who is live streaming her attempts to get pregnant by self-insemination has lost federal government backing. The performance artist Casey Jenkins was originally given funding through the government's Australia Council for the Arts for her project titled Immaculate, which involves a 41-year-old filming herself inseminating donor sperm. Jenkins' project started in August, but the Australian Council for the Arts announced this week that it had withdrawn her funding. According to the council, once its legal team examined the details of the Immaculate Project, it deemed it too... Finish or are you going to interrupt?
Just, no one knows I've got my hand up to speak when you finish speaking. Don't get waylaid. When you're finished, I've got a question for you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, thank you. Legal advice identified the possibility that... Yes.
Go on.
That a legal claim could be brought in the future... And the council determined this was not an acceptable risk for a corporate Commonwealth entity, the council said in a statement. Yes, Johnny.
Thank you. Now, this is a great example, Donald. I have never heard of this.
No, but hang on. Let's just talk about... Can you imagine an artist...
He's about to say something. Relax.
I was about to ask... What, that's just my exact point. I was about to ask you a question about it, and I started off and I said... Now, this is a great example. Now, hang on a minute, you said. This is an artist. Fuck. Listen. Jesus, it's unreal.
Don't blaspheme.
All right, I won't blaspheme.
You're using our Lord's name in vain.
All right, I take that back, God. God Almighty, I take that back. This is a great example, Donald. I don't know. I've never heard of this, so I've got some questions for you. And they're genuine. They're not salacious. Are you saying...
Don't spy.
Are you saying that the arts grant was given to her to sit in front of a camera shoving stuff up a clacker or wherever she shoves it up like it's a pornographic thing inserting someone's semen into a vagina with a view to that being art? Are you,
that's exactly
and
what
I And she
I'm
got saying. A grant for that?
That's right.
Oh, fuck. She's not... she's not...
I think that's what she needs.
She's not the person that should have had her commission withdrawn. The people who gave her the grant, that's our money, should have been summarily dismissed. If that's as you say it is, if she is sitting in front of a camera, sticking a pole up a groin,
poor
turkey baster with someone's sprog in it, well, that's what it is, Donald, isn't it? Artificial insemination.
You should choose your words a little better.
Sprog.
Oh, come on, that was something we mentioned back when we were 13.
Well, that's why I'm mentioning it to you, Donald. That says you know what it means. Sprog's just a... It's a colloquial...
What is
it's
sprog?
It's a colloquial term for semen.
Sperm.
Yeah, semen stains. He used to work on the P&O line of Orchides. semen stains. Yeah, he did. Semen stains. As opposed to semen. So, Donald, that is extraordinary. How would you get a grant? How much was she given to show that she was being inseminated by herself? How much money was she given?
Money wasn't mentioned in the article.
A grant. Oh, shit. So, all right, well, I'll...
But that's expensive, so maybe it's just a clever way to get it paid for. A clever way to get it paid for.
What?
Well, if she actually wants to conceive a child, she's funded it.
Now, what do you make? It's a piece of art, though.
Yeah, but she's actually doing it.
A piece of art, piece of ass. Now, Donald, what I want to this is another thing. Have a listen to this. This is what makes people tick these days. This is reported, and I don't think it's from that paper that said vaginal spray went over the members of the. Strip club who were standing around. Remember they said vaginal spray, you said that's a bogus article from a bogus newspaper. This is reported that Disturbing allegations about Daniel Kerr. Do you know Daniel Kerr? Dan Kerr, who played football.
For West Coast.
He said he is alleged that he cut his ex-partner's bed in half with a chainsaw.
With a what?
Chainsaw, not a chainsaw. The chainsaw. He cut his ex-partner's bed in half with a chainsaw. Let's hope she wasn't in it at the time. So that is extraordinary. That is extraordinary that someone would go to those lengths. If that is true, that is reported. I'm not mentioning that necessarily as fact, but it says here in the article from a reputable source that he went and cut his partner's bed in half with a chainsaw. Drastic, isn't it? Yeah, that's not like a phone call saying, look, I think we'll wind this up, Dale. It's not working. This is taking it to the next level, isn't it? Mm. What do you think would happen to that? He's been up on a few of those. Mm. What do you make of that, Donald?
It's sad, isn't it? There's a few of those ex-West Coast players that are in a bit of trouble after football, isn't there?
So is that sport? Are we...
Well, I don't know whether it comes under general. Are we now, winding up now?
No, I'm just going to get one other thing.
I wanted to talk about the Mornington Monster. Did you watch that the other night?
We've got two other things, so get on with it.
Be quick.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I'll just do mine first. This was reported in the World News. Now, listen to this. This is, you think I'm making this up, but I'm not. What's that? What were you doing then? What were you doing then?
He thought you were telling a joke.
I'm not telling a joke. This is reported. You can Google this. This is our authority. This was reported in the. This is the five coolest places to live in the world. This was.
Cool. What do you mean, temperature wise, or?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. They said the cool means I know, like, relaxed and avant-garde chic places to live in the world.
Yeah, got it.
I'll read them out. Now, you'll think I'm making this up. Well, you won't think I'm making the first four up. The first one was the coolest places in the world are Barcelona, for whatever reason, doesn't matter what you think.
Great place.
Downtown Los Angeles. The Shangxia province of Hong Kong. Mm. I don't know what that means, but we'll take it.
Well, that's an area.
The Stuyvesant precinct of New York.
Mm. That's where Peter's from.
Yeah, Peter.
Peter Stuyvesant.
Yeah, that's
right.
Didn't
he discover New York?
The international passport to smoking pleasure.
No, but didn't he discover New
York?
He
did. He threw his cape down. Didn't someone walk over it?
Was Sir Walter Raleigh.
Oh, all right. Well done.
Wasn't it?
Yep. So we've got Barcelona, downtown Los Angeles, Hong Kong, New York.
Yes.
And wait for this.
Yeah, don't be smart. Mate. I know where you're going. Don't be smart. I grew up in the mean streets of this next city.
No, but this is true. Someone has done this survey. Yarraville.
Well, I'd put Port Melbourne in there too.
So the coolest, one of the five coolest places in the world is Yarraville to live in. I'm not knocking Yarraville.
It's a great place.
I'm not
and
knocking.
And Williamstown is also very unique as well, isn't it? There's buildings down there and Port Melbourne.
I'm not knocking Yarraville or Port or Williamstown. How would someone who has done a world survey on the coolest places in the world to live would come up with Yarraville or Williamstown? They've done a lot of work, John.
And you just got to pat them on the back. They've done a lot of research to find Yarraville.
And what would be the redeeming features of living in Yarraville?
It's very community orientated and based. Is it the Star Theatre? Is it still there?
The Sun Theatre.
Mm-hmm. It is still there, and they've just got this. They're kind of cut off from the rest of Melbourne, and so is Williamstown.
Okay, so you think that's.
But it wasn't. But just remember, it was Yarraville that won, not Williamstown.
But next door to Yarraville is Williamstown, and I think Williamstown
or
is really...
Or Altona, and then it goes
shut
down
up?
To...
I'm trying to say something.
When I grew up, we needed a passport to get into Williamstown.
Why?
Because it was a bit toffee compared to the rest
of
the West.
Yes, it is. It is a very nice home down there.
And finally, in the same...
I'm told we've got to hurry up.
So, the final survey was men with deep voices, Donald... This is a survey that is commissioned by our money. Men with deep voices are more likely to cheat on their partners than people...
I kick on.
What have you shown me that for?
Well, he's ringing a very good
John Burt.
Yeah, very, very good Essendon Rover. I used to bat number 11 for Essendon.
Well, we're actually waiting another call, so can we get going?
Righto. So are we winding it up or are we going straight to the call?
No, wind it up.
We're going.
Right.
We'll be back.
John Burt, why did you show me that? That's got nothing to do with the podcast.
He was one of my heroes.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.